once again. Your love is higher than the mountains. It's deeper than the sea. It overcomes our selfishness and pride, our self-reliance, every aspect of our flesh through the work of Christ. In Him we rest today. And we enter boldly into a throne room of grace, confident that You are mighty to save. Help us, Lord. Strengthen our unbelief. Overcome it. Create in us hungers that do not exist yet. Confidences that have been in the past easily tainted by life struggles. Give us a big vision of You today. A vision that exalts Jesus and satisfies our hurting souls. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Like an ever-replenished bottle of water in a dry desert are the promises of God to a parched soul. With the psalmist we say in Psalm 119:50, "This is my comfort in my affliction. Your promise gives me life." The world we live in is amazingly beautiful, but oh, how it is twisted, frustrated, and broken. With the writer of Ecclesiastes, we affirm in 7:13, "Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what He has made crooked?" For many of you, the start of this school year has already witnessed a mouthful of curse. Cancer finally takes away the body, but is unable to destroy the soul of a 14-year-old brother and friend. An unexpected joyous pregnancy is tempered by the questions about the future and the guilt that such questions create. Sustained discouragement continues to rob your sense of satisfaction in God and His Word. Your inability to find a long-term job, having just moved here in the summer and still you don't know where the provision's going to come from. Moms and dads with marital strife. Friends attempting suicide, drug and sexual addictions, yes, even in this room. Miscarriage. The lack of knowledge in how to care for your lonely bride. Or that deep-seated longing in your soul for a partner that you could spend your life with, and still he doesn't come, she doesn't come. All this, plus assignments and ministry obligations, job interviews, roommate conflicts, relational tensions, and the list goes on. By day and night, we're just loaded with burdens. We come and we go, and yet they stay with us. And so we sit here today, coming, longing for God to meet us, to speak to us, to give us some release, to give us some comfort, to grant us help. Psalm 121, I pray, will provide such help. In it, the psalmist opens with this expression of trust, and this is my translation. Let me lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes. He calls himself, he challenges himself. Get your eyes up. And if he's calling himself to look up, it means one thing, he's down. But his relief, his comfort, his help is to be found upward, where the maker of heaven and the maker of earth resides, our God. As many of you know, This last year was a year of trial in the DeRoshi home. As we sought to adopt one child only to have his case fail, and then we were matched with another little boy only to have his case come under extended investigation. There's been perhaps no greater time in all my life when I have tasted the curse. So much paperwork and injustice. So many sleepless nights that were just filled with tears and battling and prayer. So much identification in my own soul of my fleshliness. I thought I was stronger than I was, and oh, God was gracious to show me how weak I was and how much I desperately needed Him. So much waiting and longing, so many phone calls and unanswered pleas. As the weeks of unknown turned to months, and as every bit of my own strength became increasingly inadequate, our God proved Himself strong, proved Himself faithful, proved Himself ever sustaining. When I feared that such pressure might break the faith of my wife and children, God proved His own worth and proved His trustworthiness. I grasped hard on God's words of command and God's words of promise, pleading for help and for timely grace. One of the gifts of this period was that God awakened in my soul poetry. And in order to put Psalm 121 in a context this morning, I want to read for you some of the songs that God birthed in my soul. Now, what you need to know is that on January 7th, God brought our three-year-old son home from Ethiopia. Ezra's name is short for Azariah, which means Yahweh is my help, straight out of this text. Mercies at dawn. How bright the light we once remember. The desire of a new day. How confident the gates of splendor will come for those who wait. Dark is the night when trust is tried. Long hours of heightened desire will culminate in glorious sight of Him we call our treasure. Aching hearts to bring home our boy. Our love grows ever deeper. Through the sea, all for our joy, the reunion will be the sweeter. Yahweh, my helper, this His name. Our God faithful will be. He our rock, never to shame those He died to redeem. Not by sight, but by faith through this valley of pain. But God is present. He keeps us safe. His word more than bread sustains. Awakened in darkness amidst the night, from our heart comes a song. Our faith is fueled. Our God is praised. And more mercies come at dawn. For those who wait. Nothing can hinder Yahweh's saving. He acts for those who wait. No purpose thwarted. His counsel stands. His timing never late. What comfort is the bigness of God who holds man's heart in hand. Our future secure. Every promise, yes. In Christ alone we stand. His children come asking for bread. He never gives a snake. In our weakness, His strength is fed. He acts for those who wait. Our God who knows the stars by name, He helps our hearts believe that He clothes the lily and that He feeds the sparrow and that He will meet our every need. Christ is near, a present help for all that He died to save. What tomorrow requires is ever secure in light of what He paid. We rest today without all answers as God removes the dross, identifying with Christ in suffering, upheld while under a cross. He will complete the work begun. We wait for the faithful and true who now gives glimpses in the sun of the day when all will be new. With these words of testimony and of hope, let us now open our eyes to the word in Psalm 121. It's the second of 15 psalms that are tagged. You can see the title, A Song of Ascent. Psalms 120 through Psalm 134, which likely were sung during the festival processions of the three annual feasts, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Passover, as the pilgrims would ascend the southern and central hill country up to Jerusalem. Notice it follows this unit right after Psalm 119. It gives balance to it. Psalm 119 puts the focus on the Word as the source of life. And these psalms, these songs of ascent, give balance by focusing on the very presence of the ruling and reigning God for all who are standing amidst adversity. Psalm 121 is broken into two units, as I understand it. Verses 1 and 2, which I have tagged, the personal celebration of Yahweh's guardianship. And then verses 3 through 8, where the psalmist turns and grants assurance to another of Yahweh's guardianship. The psalmist today wants us to celebrate with him the keeping nature of our God. We begin in verse 1. Verses 1 and 2, the personal celebration of Yahweh's guardianship. Verse 1 speaks of the necessary posture of those who are guarded by God. They look up to their source of help. Now, the way that the ESV is translated could lead us to think that the hills are not the place of hope, but rather they're the place of fear. That they're the source of the psalmist's travail. That as he sets out on his journey, there is potential problems in the crags around every corner. But I don't think that's the point. Look with me at Psalm 123, verse 1. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Then look at Psalm 125, 1 and 2. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains, that's the same word, I wish they would have gotten it. It's the hills. As the hills surround Jerusalem, so Yahweh surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. I think the psalmist in Psalm 121 is calling himself to look up to his source of help. Let me lift up my eyes to the hills from where my help comes. This is the proper posture of those who enjoy Yahweh's guardianship. Brothers, sisters, look. Look past your pain. Look past your sorrow right now. Look through the lingering shadows up to the one who is seated on the throne of grace. He's still there. He was there before your trial. He is there now. Untainted by sin and its results, but unswerving in his commitment to bestow mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Whereas verse 1 addresses the posture of the guarded, verse 2 simply focuses on the confidence of the guarded. There is no sense of self-reliance in this text. This psalmist recognizes he's down and he is dependent on his God. God is all over Psalm 121. Beginning in verse 2, he is the maker of all things. Visible and invisible, thrones and dominions and rulers and authorities, all things created by him, through him, for him. Colossians 1:16. And because he is the maker, he's able. He is able to provide, able to preserve, able to protect. That is our God. In verses 3 through 5, look at, he is the guardian, or in the ESV, he is your keeper. He's Israel's keeper. He is your keeper. And then 5 times in this text, he's simply described by the proper name, Yahweh. The Lord in ESV. The very form Yahweh, which is related to the causative verb of being. So in its very form, it's calling the reader to recognize that this God is the source who's writing our story. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. Yahweh, the causer of all, and therefore untainted by the darkness that is overcoming your soul. The maker of heaven and earth. The guardian, our God. To us, it looks like darkness. Listen to David in Psalm 139, 11, and 12. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, and the light will be night to me, O God, surely the darkness is not dark to you. God knows, and oh, he is faithful. Verse 2 points to the great confidence known by all who are guarded by our God. Regardless of your own challenge or how deep your sea of trial may be, I call you to declare with the psalmist, even right now, while you're sitting in your seat, read verse 2, say it to yourself, preach it to yourself. While I say it, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven. Verses 3 through 8, the assurance to others of Yahweh's guardianship. In verses 3 through 8, we see a shift that moves from a declaration that Yahweh is the psalmist's helper to a hopeful pledge of his guardianship to others. Look at the text. Personal celebration gives rise to a statement of assurance. My help is from Yahweh. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Now, in the context of temple worship, it's very possible that there were instances of antiphonal singing. So that verse 1 is the psalmist, verses 1 and 2 declaring, oh, let me lift up my eyes to the hills. Yahweh is my helper. And then we've got the choir or congregation on this side affirming him. Yes, yes, Yahweh is your keeper. He is your shade. Or this could be, as we see in Psalm 42 and 43, the psalmist in verses 3 through 8 actually talking to himself. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. So in verse 1, it's let me lift my eyes to the hills. And then in verses 3 through 8, he says, self, Yahweh is your guardian. He's your keeper. He's your shade. He's with you. That's possible too. But in this context of the songs of ascent, it seems more likely to me that the psalmist is recalling in verses 1 and 2 his own encounter with the faithful, helping, guardian God. And then he turns to another, perhaps traveling with him, say a father to his son who is a little bit nervous to head up to Jerusalem. And he passes on this word of hope. Our God is big. Or maybe it's a shepherd. Just notice the images of looking up to the hills, the need for sure footing, exposure to the elements by day and night, coming and going. All of these could point to a shepherd who has already made his way to Jerusalem, and now he's turning to other pilgrims and saying, it's going to be okay. Regardless, this is sure. The psalmist is confident that God is an amazing guardian. The maker of heaven and earth will not let your foot be moved. Your guardian will not slumber. Verse 3. Verses 3 and 4 speak of the nature of Yahweh's guardianship. So underneath the big rubric of my outline, I had the personal celebration of Yahweh's guardianship, and then verses 3 through 8 were the assurance of Yahweh's guardianship. Point one underneath that second unit. Verses 3 and 4 are about the nature of Yahweh's guardianship. Specifically, it's the declaration of the nature of Yahweh's guardianship. Verses 5 through 8 are then going to expound upon it. Here it's declared, there it's expounded upon. Now I was surprised as I worked on verse 3. It's not what I expected. This collection of words that relate to a stumbling step. You see it there, it says, he will not let your foot be moved. That collection of words only shows up 5 times in the Hebrew Bible. In none of the other 4 instances is it ever used of someone physically falling down. In every instance, it's used figuratively. For someone who is or anticipated being overcome by divine judgment, Deuteronomy 32, 35, or being overcome by personal sin or weakness, Psalm 38, 16, or someone who feared being overcome by enemies, Psalm 66, 9, and 94, 18. Now what that suggests to me is that when the psalmist declares, he will not let your foot to slip, he's not talking about physical stumbling, he's talking about the perseverance of the saints. He's not promising the absence of pain or even the absence of failure, but he is promising that in a sea of adversity, the elect will remain upheld. Notice, he will not let your foot be moved. This is not that we will be upheld by our own strength. No, this is fully dependent, reliant on God. As Jesus declared in John 10, 27 and 28, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me and I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Or Paul's words in Romans 8, 33 and 34, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. Oh, even more, he was raised and now is at the right hand of God. And what is he doing? He is interceding for each of you right now, knowing full well the depth of your pain. Don't put your hope in yourself today. For were it not for God, you would surely slip. But because of mercy, our faith will remain. As asserted in Psalm 94, 16 and 18, who stands up for me against evildoers? If Yahweh had not been my help, my soul would soon have lived in the land of silence. When I thought my foot slips, there's the connection with our text. When I thought my foot slips, your steadfast love, O Yahweh, held me up. It is the steadfast love of the Lord that sustains. It never ceases, but comes at us one more time, morning by morning. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The sure confidence we have today that we will remain with God tomorrow is God. Thank him. Remain dependent on him. Plead with him. Hold me. Not only does Yahweh's guardianship mean that he is the one who ensures our perseverance, 3a, but it also means he is constantly watching over our souls, 3b through 4. Now the Hebrew in verse 4 is striking, and you can't quite see it, I don't think, in the ESV, but it suggests a development from what precedes in verse 3. Whereas verse 3 suggests your guardian will not slumber now, verse 4 stresses that Israel's guardian will never, hear the distinction, will never slumber. He will never sleep.
The negative changes, and that switch in the negative suggests we've moved from the immediate, he will not slumber right now, to the he will never do it. He's always going to be there for all of his people and for you. Psalm 127:2 tells us that God gives his beloved sleep. And you and I can find rest at night only because we know that God is not resting. He is wide awake, working on behalf of his own. Yahweh is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. That is our God. Isaiah 40:28. Remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal? Arouse him! Arouse your God! And Baal couldn't make it. Maybe he's on a trip. Maybe he's in the bathroom. No, not Yahweh. Oh Lord, move in this place. And he did. God, our God, our guardian, is always awake, always aware, always watching. Watching over his children, even his adopted ones. As Jesus said in John 10:16-28, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. He's the guardian of Israel, but I have other sheep who are not of this fold that I'm going to bring in, and those who are my sheep will never perish. They're in my hand. They're in my hand. My hand, the Father's hand, we're one. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. Why? Because I, Yahweh, am your God. Isaiah 43:2-3. Though you die, yet shall you live. John 11:25. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Don't fear the maker of heaven and earth. Don't fear. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:18-20. Whether your sleepless nights are filled with tears and pain, or perhaps diaper changing, or maybe it's just paper writing. Know this, that in your weakness he is strong and he is there, just as aware as he was when the sun was high. Yahweh's guardianship ensures both our perseverance and it ensures that he is constantly watching over his own. Verses 5-8, the nature of Yahweh's guardianship expounded. So we have this nature being developed here. It was described in verses 3 and 4. It's unpacked in verses 5 and 6. In 5-8, in verses 5 and 6, we get his identity. And in verses 7 and 8, it stresses his activity. Look at the text with me. First, his identity. Here's my summary of verses 5 and 6. God is the ever-present defender of his own. Just as God is the maker of the heavens and the earth, and in that I, little me, can find comfort, so too, verse 4 said, he's Israel's guardian. And now verse 5, he's your guardian. The psalmist then unpacks this watchful role in verses 5b-6. Yahweh is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Hear this. Let the promises of God satisfy your soul. Though it may not look like it, like his sovereignty is at work and that he is in control in your life, trust the promises. Allow faith to build the bridge from what is sight to what is true. Yahweh is your shade at your right hand. That means, brothers and sisters, he is with us. Emmanuel. He's not from a distance. That's not our God. That's garbage theology. This text gives us hope in the midst of our pain that he has not left us, period. He is right there. a shade at our right side, so that come what may, in the night or in the light, God is with us. Take comfort in that. And that God who is with us is for us, not against us. It's important to recognize that the psalmist is not here promising a trial-free life. What did he just say? I need help. But he knows that God's for him. He knows that God is for him. A true guardian, ensuring his perseverance and not allowing him to be overcome. We are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we are not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:8 and 9. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Don't fear. As for God's actions, verses 7 and 8, he guards his own perfectly. In verse 7, he is the life preserver. And in verse 8, the lasting protector. Let's look at verse 7. Yahweh will keep you from all evil. He will keep your soul, the life preserver. We pray and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Matthew 6, 13. Jesus prayed, Father, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. John 17, 15. And so it was that Paul promised in 2 Thessalonians 3:3, brothers and sisters, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and he will guard you against the evil one. He may assault. He is wily. Indeed, you may enter into direct combat with him, wrestling against the rulers and the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, Ephesians 6:12. But as you take up that full armor of God, you can rest knowing that greater is he who is in us, who is with us, who is for us, than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4, Romans 8:31. And you can rest knowing that our Redeemer, Christ, the resurrected Son of God, overpowering sin and death and all evil, he is now seated at the Father's right hand, far, far, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. Ephesians 1:21. As God's own, hear the promise, we rest secure. For even if you die, yet shall you. John 11:25. Along with being a life preserver, our guardian is our, verse 8, lasting protector. Through all life's journey, in your coming and in your going, both now and unto an eternity of tomorrows, our God will keep you. That's what he says right here. He will guard your life. He will preserve you in your coming and in your going. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, things present or things to come, nor powers, nor anything else in all of creation can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:38 and 39. Why do you say, O Jacob, and why do you speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? How can you say that? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Yahweh, he's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. This is true. His understanding, unsearchable. That's what makes life in this cursed world so challenging for us. But he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Isaiah 40, 27 through 29. Fear not, for I am with you.
Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. What? I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41:10. Remember my affliction and my wanderings. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind. In this I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're fresh every dawn. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Lamentations 3:19 through 24. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Your help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Hold on to that promise. Don't be overcome by the lies of the devil. Take heart today and proclaim to yourself what is true. The Lord is with you. Present and faithful guardian. Like an ever-replenished bottle of water in a dry desert are the promises of God to a parched soul. Toward the end of my family's journey, I wrote these words. Basking in the rising of the sun. This is our closing. The sun breaks and beauty appears. A daily reminder that all our fears of dread are past, though pain persists, the toil, the sorrow, a persistent mist that will be burned away in the course of time, a hopeful rest when full glow shines. The light of dawn is only agreeable because the light of noon is foreseeable. If no hope existed for a brighter light, then sustained shadows would be lingering night. Yet darkness is passing. The true light glows. A brightening sky overcoming sorrows. The dawn of immortality is the life we tread. A life of grace because Christ bled, taking the wrath that we all deserve, a gift of love to preserve a people for himself into the age to come. The curse abolished in the rising of the sun. Let's pray. Our help comes from you, God, maker of heaven and earth. Satisfy us today with your words of promise. May they overcome the preaching of the flesh. May discouragement not be able to sit in our soul. May apathy not reign, but may you, who are seated on the throne and full of grace, give us timely help today through Jesus and only through the victorious, sin-conquering, hope-giving King, we pray.